In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, I want to begin today's homily with a question. Want to know how many of you have heard of the little giants? Are any of you DIYers, do-it-yourselfers? Some of you maybe have some tools and equipment at home. The little giant is a special ladder, and it's a ladder that has great flexibility. It's a ladder that you can put on uneven ground. It's a ladder that not only goes in an upside down V shape, but also can extend. You can lean it against your home or against a tree. It's a ladder that actually can separate into two parts and you can use it for scaffolding. And this great giant of ladders compacts down very small. And it's called the little giant. I ask you this today, as we have a special commemoration, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, a book that was written by St. John Climacus, who lived in the 6th, 7th century, and he wrote this book in which he details the ascent of the Christian from vice to virtue, from separation from God to union with Him. And in this book, he outlines 30 different rungs, steps on this ladder that lead from earth to heaven. And he likens it to the 30 years in the life of the Lord, who began his public ministry at the age of 30. This ladder of divine ascent has received great acclaim throughout the world, being read not only in monasteries, but in churches, not only by monastics, but by married men and women, people living out in the world. And the church gives it to all of us today, all of the faithful, to consider this ladder of divine ascent. Now, we'll look at the comparison between the little giant and the ladder of divine ascent. But to do that, we have to first see that the ladder of divine ascent is unlike any other ladder that we might have used in our lives. And there are many types of ladders, the physical kind, like this little giant. But also there are other ladders in life. Educational ladders, career ladders, social ladders. And in all of these other ladders that we're familiar with, ladders of this age, this world, there's an ascent by personal growth and acquisition, by building oneself up, whether it be education, career, or in society. These types of ladders have the tendency to puff ourselves up when we ascend them. Think simply about applying to a school or applying for a job. What do you have to do? You have to submit an application, a resume. Well, what do you put on those applications and resumes? Your shortcomings? No. You put all of the good things about yourself. You present the best version of yourself. And even sometimes a version that doesn't really correspond too much to us. If we're going to put something negative, we might put on an application, oh, I work too hard. I think too much about the company's goals. I put others before me too much. And in the spiritual life, we take the opposite road. Instead of one of ascent to pride, we take the road of descent in humility. We'll speak about humility, which is one of the steps in the ladder. Humility is one of the hardest steps to acquire. It's a grace that's given to us after much struggle, but it's something that actually begins the Christian life as well. When the Lord began His Sermon on the Mount, He spoke the Beatitudes, and He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's number one. We begin with humility, and then we grow in humility by God's grace. Here's some short quotes from the ladder on humility. St. John says, "As he who climbs up a rotten ladder runs a risk, so all honor, glory, and authority oppose humility and bring down him who has them." Honor, glory, and authority. Those are the accolades of worldly ascent that are given to us. These can bring us down in our spiritual life. He says also of humility. Without a guide, it is easy to wander from the road, however prudent you may be. And so, he who walks the monastic way, and for us today in general, the Christian way, he who walks the monastic Christian way under his own direction soon perishes. Even though, he says, he may have all the wisdom of the world. St. John, being the abbot of this great monastery of St. Catherine's, out in the Sinai Desert, at the very foot of Mount Sinai that Moses ascended to receive the Ten Commandments, where the burning bush was, he saw many people flock to this monastery seeking salvation, and he saw people of all different statuses and ranks in the world. He gives a case of one man, Isidore, who was of magisterial rank from Alexandria. But St. John says, when he arrived at the monastery, he was full of mischief. He was very cruel, sly, fierce, and arrogant, which probably aided him in whatever he was doing in Alexandria. But of course, were detrimental to his life there in the monastery. And he had Isidore do something very strange. He gave him an obedience unlike what the other monks had in the monastery. He sent him out to the gate of the monastery, and there he said, everybody who comes into the monastery, whoever they are, the bishop, a noble, a peasant, whoever they are, make a full prostration down to the ground before them and say, pray for me. I'm an epileptic. Now, epileptics had an illness, but in those days they were looked down upon. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have anything that they could do. No one could entrust them with any kind of responsibility because of their physical challenges. So he, this great man of magisterial rank, had to humble himself before everybody that came in. And he said when he started to do this, he hated it. He was really angry with the abbot for giving him that job. But after time had passed, he began to humble himself. And he began to think, well, maybe God will reward me for what I'm doing here, for my obedience. And then more time passed, and he actually began to feel himself lower than everybody that came in, where before he thought himself higher than absolutely everybody. And soon the abbot wanted to ordain this man. But other brothers in the monastery came to Isidore's defense and said, he doesn't want to be ordained. He just wants to be humble and live out the rest of his days there. So the abbot said, okay, we won't ordain him. And in a short time, that man passed. And an interesting thing happened. His friend, who was the porter at the monastery, the gatekeeper, he died 7 days later. And he died 7 days later at the prayers of Isidore. Because Isidore had told him that if by obedience, he had gained any good favor with God, he would intercede for the porter that he too might enter into the kingdom. And just 7 days later, that's exactly what happened. So this man who was great in the world became a nobody. The man who was a giant became little. And in his growth and humility, he had achieved the kingdom. Now in this ladder of divine ascent, in this chapter on humility, St. John the Abbot has conversation with other monks, and he asks them, what does humility mean to you? How do you understand this virtue? And he writes that some said it's constant oblivion of one's own achievements. Another said acknowledgement of oneself as the last of all and the greatest of sinners. A third said, it's the mind's recognition of one's weaknesses and impotence. A fourth said, the feeling in a contrite soul and the renunciation of one's own will. Another said, recognition of divine grace and divine compassion. And St. John acknowledged all of these to be true, that this is what humility is. And then he spoke in his own words and he says, it is an unspeakable wealth, a gift of God, For it is said, learn not from an angel, nor from man, nor from a book, but from me, that is, my indwelling, from my illumination and action in you. For I am meek and humble in heart, and in thought, and in spirit. And your souls shall find rest from conflicts and relief from thoughts. Then he goes on to talk about how humility grows. It begins as the first step, but it grows in us by God's grace. He says, as soon as the cluster of holy humility begins to blossom within us, we at once begin, though with an effort, to hate all human glory and praise. To hate all human glory and praise, and to banish from ourselves irritation and anger. When this queen of virtues makes progress in our souls by spiritual growth, we regard all the good deeds accomplished by us as nothing, or rather as an abomination, supposing that every day we add more and more to our burden by a dissipation that we cannot comprehend. We suspect the very abundance of the divine gifts showered upon us to be beyond our deserts and to aggravate our punishment. And listen to this. He says, so our mind remains unplundered. What does it mean to remain unplundered? What is it to plunder? To take away. The mind remains unplundered. It remains holding what it has been given. So our mind remains unplundered, reposing securely in the casket of modesty. Only hearing the knocks and jeers of the thieves without being subject to any of their threats. Because modesty, humility, is an inviolable safe. The casket of humility. What a great illustration. You know, when we think about our Lenten journey is about learning how to die so we can rise, how to be humbled so we can be exalted. The descent into humility is really the death of the old man. The old man who wants all the praises, all the glory, all the honor, all the accolades. Everything the world has, that man begins to die within us through humility. And we embrace just the opposite. We embrace reproaches, rebukes, discipline. We embrace all of the things that formerly we had hated. And we embrace them because they allow us to hold on to the grace of God, which is squandered through pride. I mentioned the little giant. What a great name for that ladder. It really describes the Christian too. Right? The Christian is called to be the little giant. To become a giant by becoming little. Or rather, to be united to the giant, God, who became little for our sake. Just last night we sang a beautiful hymn. One of those resurrectional hymns in tone 8. Descending from heaven to ascend the cross. Descending from heaven to come to earth to ascend the cross. The eternal life has come for death, to raise those who are fallen, those descended into Hades. To enlighten those in darkness, O Jesus, our Savior and Illuminator, glory to thee. You see, the life of Christ, this ladder that we're called to ascend upon, comes from heaven down to earth, from earth down into the grave, from the grave down into the lowest Hades. This ladder has every feature that you could ever want. It reaches every person no matter where you are. And this is the ladder that comes to us in this great Lent. And we have this invitation to ascend upon it. Or rather, to descend through it to our own death, so that Christ might ascend in us. This is at the very heart of our Christian life. I want to close with two things. One, a refutation of false humility. False humility is saying, I am so weak, I am so poor, I am so helpless, that there's no hope for me. That I can't get up. That I can't make a movement towards the kingdom. False humility can be refuted with one verse from the scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God, all things are possible. Every single one of us, though we lay in our tombs, can be raised to newness of life. Though we have fallen in sins, can be raised up by grace. This is God's action within us. True humility is the recognition that God can do everything for us. As St. John says, from my indwelling, from my illumination and action in you, from my work, Christ tells us. The second point, and this is on community. You know, people traveled to this monastery out in the middle of nowhere, out in the Sinai Desert. They came to this monastery, they had this great teacher, and they made this ascent. Brothers and sisters, we are in a different type of community. We're out in the world. We're not monastics. We're married or single people living in society. But we have a great opportunity here to go the way of Christ. And remember, the way of Christ is one of descent so that we can ascend. If you look in the icon of the ladder on the animal here, where is St. John? Alexander. Tell me where St. John is in the ladder there. Top or bottom?
Bottom.
Why isn't he at the top? He wrote this great book. Why isn't he there? He's at the bottom because he descended down to help others ascend. Brothers and sisters, when we come to this church, there might be times where you leave here and you don't feel uplifted. There might be times where you come here and you're trying to pray and there's too much commotion, too much noise. The choir's not singing great. The sermon's too long. There's all these problems. We might come here looking to be served. But what we should come here to do is to serve others. To make that descent. To lift up others. Not try to push down others so we can get up to the kingdom. This community has many shining examples of just that. People who come here to serve. People who come here to be obedient. To humble themselves. I thought about my time here, and I've been here over 10 years. I can count on one hand how many times I've asked someone to do something and they've said no. They refused to do it. Not because they couldn't, but because they didn't want it. On one hand, in 10 plus years, we have people who accept the most menial tasks, people who are not prima donnas, people who cut off self-will and stubbornness. People who are willing to do everything and anything to humble themselves and to lift up one another. Brothers and sisters, continue in it. Continue in abasing yourself to be raised up. Continue in serving rather than seeking to be served. Because this is the life of Christ in you. This is the life of Christ in us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.